Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel, SI's Ross Dellinger, and SI's Pat Forte. Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
Right, welcome to the pod. And I got to say, gentlemen, Brandon Miller has been disciplined.
Really?
Yeah, he will not be allowed to do his pregame introduction pat down as he had apparently all season. That's the first seemingly punishment. Although he did have the Twitter ban where the men's basketball Twitter feed ignored him. So I guess that's the second sanction against Brandon Miller, the Alabama basketball star who is in the a lot of tumult. If you missed our lengthy discussion on it, you can go back last week. We won't rehash everything. If you listen to this podcast, you probably understand that Brandon Miller drove his car containing a weapon belonging to Darius Miles over to a spot in on the strip in Tuscaloosa. The strip is not a strip club. Apparently that was lost in one Yahoo commenters bit. Glad we're reading these things real carefully.
I'm telling you, like, we actually did do a service kind of last week by going through as painstakingly as we could all the facts, because people have gotten so many of these facts wrong. Holy moly.
Oh, including like the people at Alabama, like, right?
Well,
like,
yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of it's and then is like the purposely wrong bit, right? Yeah, just because he hasn't, you know. So anyway, he drove the murder weapon over. It got used in the shooting. There's a big shootout in Tuscaloosa. I continue to believe we're lucky there weren't more fatalities, as at least 11 bullets flew around crowded bar district. But there, you know, that whole scene. So then Saturday comes along and he's playing and he comes out. And again, it was like another unbelievable moment in this story where you're like, what I'm seeing can't be true.
Right.
He comes out and gets patted down in the pregame introductions, and apparently had been doing it all year. No one noticed. It's been 5 weeks since the Alabama basketball team was involved in a downtown shootout that left one dead, and nobody at Alabama noticed or cared to notice or anything.
Cared to notice. Yeah, I think
Nate Oates unaware. I know we're stunned, unaware of another thing. I don't watch our introductions. I'm not involved with them. I'm drawing up plays during that time. Seems like a procrastination if you're drawing up plays the very last second. But
I can actually believe that, because I've seen coaches doing plays all the time.
Yeah,
I mean, like coaches, like they're doing their thing, and he's sitting there and he's getting out his whiteboard, like, okay, we're coming off the opening tip, and we're going to do this. But for nobody on the staff to have ever noticed this in the last 5 weeks,
right? How many staff members are there? How many support staff? How many? You know, I mean, come on. It would strike me that somebody would be like, you know what? Maybe this isn't the brightest idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like someone sent me that. I'm like, you got to be kidding. I'm looking and I'm like, maybe it's something. Like, no. It was like Oates' original, like, it's the whole story. I'm just like, no. Yeah. Couldn't be that dumb down there, could they? And, you know, then you get the Alabama fan that's defending anything. Wow, it's an MMA intro. Well, no, the MMA thing's a pat down for illegal weapons too. It's just not firearms,
right?
Usually
you're looking for a weapon.
Yeah, but it's not. They don't check his ears. Oh, we know what it was. Even regardless, just what it might be. Even Nate Oates thinks it's inappropriate, and I'm not sure there's a lot on his not appropriate list.
Or somebody told him to think it's inappropriate.
Yeah,
one of the
someone told him this is not appropriate. It's been addressed, and I can assure you it definitely will not happen again the remainder of the year. So we got that at least. Yeah.
More reacting instead of acting.
Yeah.
Alabama.
Yeah. You had thoughts, Pat. What are your thoughts?
I did have thoughts. I did. And similar to your thoughts, where I was like, I just, like, just spare me any pretense of we are taking this seriously. We understand this is a tragedy. We feel terrible for the family. We're going to pray for the family. Just stop with all that. Stop with it, because you're not acting like that's the truth. Going back to wrong spot at the wrong time, going back to failing to disclose at any point in time that Brandon Miller and Jaden Bradley were there, that Miller was questioned about having the weapon in the car. And then going forward and through this, I mean, I was like you. I mean, all of a sudden that hit social media and I was like, what? You cannot be serious. You cannot. I mean, there's just, that's so incomprehensible to me. So unbelievably tone deaf, callous. So who cares? We're trying to play basketball here. You know, that it's just, it's so insulting to the family of this murder victim and anybody else that feels like Alabama has not shown a whole hell of a lot of concern about how it's handled itself in this thing.
Yeah, I remember watching it thinking, first thing that went to my head is, surely this is something they do every game. And then my second thought was, well, they should probably stop doing this, you know, every game. If that's the case, they should probably stop doing it now or before now. Because, yeah, it's just bad look. Bad look. And like Pat said, kind of goes along with a lot of things we've seen during this saga. As we talked about last podcast, this seems like they would not be in this position had they made a decision in January to suspend him and suspend everybody that was at the scene of a murder until the investigation is over, and maybe, you know, we wouldn't be in this spot.
Yeah, I mean, the bit where we've been doing it all year is like, well, so for 5 weeks, I don't know. It's like, okay.
What was okay in December was not okay as of January 15th.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I mean, like, I don't care what these guys do, but that, it's just like, if you're a representative of the university, you're the head coach, you're being paid $4 or $5 million, maybe more now, with his contract extension that occurred after the murder.
Yeah.
One of his players murdered somebody or is charged with a capital murder offense involving the death. He made the alleged trigger man, but whatever. Yeah, I don't know. It's just sort of one more thing. And this is kind of why I don't know what you guys are here. I mean, everybody I'm talking to is the same thing. Like, they just cannot believe they didn't suspend him. They didn't take a pause after the murder to figure stuff out. What is going on? The fact that Brandon Miller and his attorney never told Alabama that, oh, the murder weapon was in the car that I drove over there or my client drove over. Just a heads up. Hey, there's a preliminary hearing on Tuesday. This will probably come out at the preliminary hearing. I'm like, I get you. Maybe you just don't tell anybody anything. I mean, the number one job for Brandon Miller is avoiding getting charged with a crime, right? And, you know, Alabama's criminal conspiracy law is incredibly forgiving. So he's not, you know, he's probably not, but it's close enough where, because it's not just because they say, well, we don't view him as a suspect. That doesn't mean they can't charge him later.
Right.
They do that all the time. So if you're the attorney, I get it, right? Shut up. We ain't talking to anybody. But, like, you know, on Tuesday, this is probably coming out, maybe a little heads up. But then Alabama completely trusts this attorney and Brandon Miller, so they're all in on it. A lot of people just can't understand the exposure Alabama has. And then this is just sort of one of those examples of, like, so, you know, two of your guys are at a murder scene and you didn't spend any time saying, hey, when one of them got shot, at his window shot twice, no one was like, hey, let's take a little time here. Let's settle it down. Let's see how this shakes out. Let's review some things, like, all the way down to the pregame warm-up.
Yeah. No. Nothing. Nothing. I mean, I listened to the Nate Oates Zoom call, you know, that Monday. All right. Miller was charged on Sunday. On Monday, they had a Zoom call to preview the Vanderbilt game. And I got on it, like, what the heck are these guys even going to say? And it was, you know, clearly said, none of our other players are impacted by this. Everyone is available to go to Vanderbilt. Okay. In retrospect, that's curious, you know. And going back to then, I did a story on this, kind of what the heck's the deal? Who's Darius Miles? What's the deal? Just a very cursory story, maybe 600, 800 words. And one of the things that I looked at trying to find out, has he been in trouble before? And yes, he had been in off and on some trouble. He was not an easy player to coach, it doesn't appear. But he missed one game against Tennessee for poor practice habits.
So
if you can miss a game for poor practice habits, maybe somebody else could miss a game for being at the scene of a murder. Maybe. Unless you're the best player on the team and the best player in the college basketball. I don't know.
Poor practice habits, huh?
Mm-hmm. That'll really get you in trouble at Alabama.
And like it's gotten so far now away from the event. It's almost like one of those situations, if they suspend him now, it's like it's an obvious reaction, you know, to the news cycle. It's almost like it almost feels like too late now. You missed your chance and now you're in it. You know, you're in it now and you got to stick with it. And it's going to be a distraction. And, you know, if you can fight through the distraction, okay. I kind of can't believe that, I guess, that they would be okay with the distraction, right? Like, coaches are always about put the blinders on and all that stuff. And, like, this is just, I mean, this is being covered nationally on every show. And it just seems like it's going to really impact them at some point.
Well, yeah, but not as much as a guy who can score 65 points in a week.
True.
I mean, I think the situation is, I mean, Nate Oates has not cloaked himself in glory here. I mean, it's the guy's a great basketball coach, but a good recruiter, obviously, got Brandon Miller to Tuscaloosa. But, I mean, his press conferences have been, you know, I think we now have BetMGM over-unders on how many clarifications are going to come from the next Nate Oates press conference. The first comments were, you know, wrong place, wrong time was just kerosene on top of the story.
Yeah.
Now they said, well, he didn't know what had come out in the, before he spoke to the media, what had come out in the hearing. Well, why not? Yeah. I mean, like, you know, at least this time on Saturday, they told him, hey, this is an uproar on social media about this pat down. So at least he was prepared for it. He wasn't prepared for that. He doesn't really communicate well. I don't think he's big on empathy in that manner. And that's just, you know, that's, I think, just the way he talks and stuff. I mean, so it has not gone well along those lines. And but I can see him just saying, hey, we got Brandon Miller. It's really the rest of the school that's supposed to be about, not about the basketball team, but about the reputation of the university and the basketball program as a whole, because coaches get blinders on and they don't really care. And I think what we have here is, you know, I mean, look, this is the least disciplined, most outlandish college basketball program I've ever heard of. I mean, you know, there was a Baylor murder 20 years ago, but the whole thing blew up after that. Not we're going along fine.
Right.
You know, this is it. This is the rebel program of all rebel programs. And for a school to just charge into that and become this kind of a thing that it, I mean, people are talking about Alabama basketball that never talk about college basketball. Don't even talk about sports.
Right.
So to like say, this is what our program is going to be. We're going to be the most over the top, out of control program that college athletics, which has a rich history of out of control programs, has ever produced.
Yeah.
That's not like Nate Oates may not be sharp enough or aware enough of the big picture to get away from that. He should be, but somebody's got to be there saying, hey, man, this is going to have implications beyond whether we beat Auburn this week.
Yeah. A couple of things here. I will say that I have heard from Alabama alums, Alabama faculty, a couple of fairly prominent people who are really appalled by this. Like, they're not roll-tiding. They are like, oh, my God, what is our university doing?
Of course.
Yeah, they are, you know, people that aren't just in this to win the SEC. So the people that care about something beyond let's win a basketball game are pretty appalled. Secondly, Ross, to your point, and I was asked this today on radio, because to Dan's point, that's all everybody wants to talk about right now, other than maybe like NFL free agency. But, you know, it's basically, is it too late to do anything? And, you know, and yes, their window of looking like they actually care closed. All right. That's over. The only thing you could do, you could call a meeting of the Board of Trustees, the university president, Greg Byrne, Nate Oates, and say, look, we handled this really badly. That doesn't mean we just have to charge onward. We can go back and now we can try to correct this. All right. We can do something here. We can take some steps and try to do something other than just saying, whoop, we blew it, but let's just blunder straight onward. It would be hard. It would be embarrassing. It would be backtracking in the face of this, and it would hurt your basketball team. But you could do those things if you actually wanted to. I don't anticipate it. I don't expect it'll happen, but it could.
Yeah, pipe dream on that one, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's probably the only way it happens. Yeah, is like the board gets involved, right? Yeah.
President. Again, like, as we said, no suspension of Brandon Miller brings back Jermaine Harris. No, nothing can, you know, it's not relevant. It's not an A and B thing. It's not crime and punishment, but you know, we stated in the last one, I'm more just observation of this is more it. I'm more observant than like advocate that, oh, there you go. Sit Brandon Miller a couple games. That'll do it. It's just in the history of college basketball, forget it. Like this isn't even a decision. I was talking today about this, and I'll bring up the story. 20 years ago, okay, 20 years ago. So next time these administrators and these coaches want to complain how NIL has changed what college basketball used to be, college football. Okay, here's 20 years ago. New York Times. Villanova suspended 12 players on its men's basketball team yesterday, saying an internal investigation showed they had used a university access code to make unauthorized telephone calls. 12 players.
Yep.
Suspended players include leading scorers Gary Buchanan and Ricky Wright. Only 3 guys weren't involved. They suspended 12 players. They had to stagger the suspensions because you didn't have enough guys to play. It almost cost Jay Wright his job. Imagine this.
Yeah, he was new to the job. He was pretty early on.
15 and 13, new to the job. What they found out was there was a staffer that somebody in the athletic department had an access code to dial long distance. This was before everyone had cell phones.
Yep.
And these guys got a hold of the access call, and they were calling mostly home to their parents.
how dare they?
Yeah, called mom or like a girlfriend back home. They're all using the code, and thus they were all suspended between 3 and 7 games. Okay? I'm disappointed for them, really, Wright said. They're good guys who made a poor decision. When you're 18 to 22, you know sometimes you're going to make bad decisions. I think they thought they were doing what other students. We make them understand all the time. They're being held to a higher standard. In 20 years, we've gone from this, which a little rough, okay, to, hey, man, he wasn't charged with capital murder. Like, is this the nail that, like, is this the final nail in the coffin? I say that scared because it always goes lower. I don't know what gets lower than this, but is this it where we're just like, we've given up on the idea that this is about molding men and the discipline? Can we just give up on the charade?
Well,
is this the one? Because what happens in college sports is people they go, well, don't punish my school. They let this school get away with this, right?
Yeah.
Why should my guy be suspended? Bill Self won the championship last year. Will Wade kept coaching. They're doing this over at this school. They're paying guys at this school. Is this the one where it's like, I don't want to hear about discipline or punishment? Alabama played a guy who brought a murder weapon to the murder.
The first reaction that saw from the, and I know we're going to get to it, the NCAA ruling on Miami, the NIL, the first NIL related case. The first reactions, right, were certainly other fan bases responding with, oh, yes, penalize the women's basketball player for having dinner at a businessman / booster's house, but don't involve yourself at all in penalizing or, you know, slapping,
even with commenting
over a basketball player who's actively participating in games and brought a gun that used as a murder weapon, eventually used as a murder weapon, who was on the scene as of a murder. So that this is like a years-long thing where you have like two buckets here. You have the NCAA rules, and then you have not NCAA rules that the NCAA doesn't police, which are off the field stuff. And, you know, schools for the longest, right, took more seriously the bucket of the NCAA and the NCAA rules. And they were more fearful, and probably still are, right? Today, this is a good example that they still are more fearful of the NCAA rules. Now, that's starting to diminish a little bit. The NCAA is starting to be a little more insignificant in a lot of people's minds. But yeah, that story is fairly mind blowing that you read about 20 years ago. And it just, yeah, it brings back today, you know, the Cavender twin stuff in Miami. That was the first reaction.
Oh yeah. And that's, you know, that is the game college fans play constantly. It's a very tiresome game to me and to probably to all of us here, you know, of like, well, don't punish us because look what they did, and don't do this because they did that, and, you know, this and that and the other. But this Alabama thing is like, woo! I was at the SEC tournament in 2019, I believe it was, when LSU came trotting out as the SEC regular season champions, like a week after we broke the story about Will Wade's strong-ass offer.
Right.
And even then I was like, wow, they got some gall. They're just rolling with this. But in comparison, that's like, who cares?
Yeah, that was funny. That story was funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Strong ass offer quote was great, you know? And yeah, it wasn't funny the guys had to go to prison, but they never, none of that should have been illegal.
Right.
And look, it's two totally separate things to people who really know college athletics. One is a manual about this, and you know, should the Cavender twins, these two women players from, women from Fresno, they transfer to Miami. They have a meeting the night before with the booster and their parents. And, well, is that, you know, that a violation? That's one thing the NCAA does. They don't do this. But in the general public's mind, it all goes together.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? The same way, like, to me, this is the biggest case since North Carolina got away with the kids doing no-show classes.
Yeah.
And it's
years
like,
of academic fraud.
Yeah, and it's not we can't do anything about that. And you sit there and go, okay, I understand all the little bylaws and stuff like that. But as a general principle, you're like, this is a joke, right? You guys are a joke. You guys are joking about rules when literally educating the students is no longer a thing. And I just think Alabama's decision here is the biggest body blow to whatever is left of the credibility, because this is what's going to be cited forever. Even though it's two separate different things, to the guy sitting at home,
yeah,
they're like, wait, you're going to try to punish my school for this? We did, you know, what is this over here? This is taking the ideal of what college athletics is about, that high-minded ideal, and just forget it. It's over. Like, we're just going to take that, and it is officially over. Because of that's the decision that Alabama had that will impact all the other schools. And so, again, that's why I always thought they would suspend or sit them for a minute and sit everyone involved and say, what is going on here? We clearly were not told what happened. We didn't know. We're flying blind on all sorts of things that we don't know is going on. We're going to take a minute, and for the sake of the reputation of our school and the sake of the reputation of college athletics, we're going to take a minute. Let's sit for a bit. Maybe come back. Maybe you don't. I don't know. But there's a bigger thing. Instead, it is just full boat ahead. Scandal, what scandal? We don't even know how we warm up or we get introduced or whatever.
And you don't have really any like in the NFL, you obviously have oversight from the NFL commissioner, who does get involved. We've seen in the past, especially Roger Goodell, getting involved with, like, you know,
he'd be disciplined in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right. You don't have that. You know, we don't have that in college NBA. Now. People think we should have that in college, right? We should have an FBS football commissioner or whatever, something, you know, some kind of commissioner over the FBS schools. But you don't really have oversight. The closest oversight is like a Greg Sankey of the SEC. And, you know, Obviously, they haven't done anything, but they don't usually get involved either in the criminal realm. That's you see that in pro, but you just don't see it in college. And maybe that's something coming down the pipe, especially if there is some kind of new whatever governance structure in college. Maybe you do see, because I think if you had some kind of oversight, like if this are professional ranks and you had a commissioner, like Dan just said, right, you'd probably have the other teams, team owners or whatever, getting together on a board and saying, hey, this can't fly. You know, you got to at least suspend him for a couple weeks.
You're right. We're damaging the brand, right? The NFL is all about the shield. Alabama's decision has put college basketball on the outskirts of even the NFL.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where it, and that's where the other people get upset and go, wait a minute, this is terrible for us.
Yeah. The point, yeah, this is a good point is, and Dan, I remember us talking about this on our radio show 1,000 years ago about the Penn State Jerry Sandusky stuff and saying, this is basically too serious for the NCAA rulebook.
Mm-hmm.
And you're counting on the school to be the pillar of decency and accountability here. And the school isn't doing it. And so if the school isn't doing it, then I don't know what you do.
Well, the NCAA tried, and then that didn't work either.
Nope.
No, it didn't work
at all. Yeah, it backfired, right.
So, but you got to be tough and just say, we don't care. You have to have a buy-in. I thought the problem with the NCAA thing was it was all about, like, recruiting sanctions and stuff. It was like...
Yeah, no, it was misplaced.
It was like a miss... Like, they only could speak one language, which is like, how do we stop official visits? Right. Stuff like that. Like, that's
they did.
Scholarship reductions and a bowl ban. Right? Wasn't it
like a multi-million-dollar fine or something?
It was a huge fine. Huge fine.
The fine would be one thing. It was when they were trying to basically punish the program for winning. Like, taking... Yeah. I remember taking away scholarships is not a good... Like, that just means less kids got a scholarship in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a poor job, but the NCAA is clumsy and unable to handle this. I get it. But that's where we're at, because there's sort of the professional expectation that everyone will at least have some kind of a reasonable standard.
Yeah.
And that's what I think has shocked college sports, is Alabama, the establishment of establishments, right, practically, is just like, we're the ones that are just going to be like, whatever.
Yeah. And, you know, it is interesting to think whether the SEC could or would feel like stepping in, because I do remember during the Penn State thing, there was at least a lot of back channel discussion from the Big Ten. What can we do? You know, there were some people wanted to kick Penn State out of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You know, that's not obviously going to happen with Alabama here. But, you know, is there anything that could be done? Greg Sankey, first of all, is the most powerful and influential person in college athletics. Secondly, and on occasion he has made it clear through back channels, like, you will not hire Hugh Freeze as an offensive coordinator, or you will not hire somebody else who's got some very fresh baggage until some time has passed. But to the best of my knowledge, no public commentary, at least so far, from Greg on this.
Yeah, well, the SEC did do this. Freshman of the week this week. Was Nick Smith Jr. of Arkansas.
Oh, okay. All right.
Scored 50 points this week, including 24 in a loss to Alabama. Brandon Miller, who had 65 points and 2 victories, was not the freshman of the week.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, he's been freshman of the week like six other times, so who knows? So they're cracking down. They're cracking down. I don't know. This story remains absolutely fascinating. I still don't know what's going to come. By their own admission, they still don't know half the story. It's just like a hope and a prayer that's like, hey, hope it doesn't break bad in another, you know. Like, Pat, you mentioned something in that case. I don't want to dig too deep in this thing, but you mentioned a really interesting thing in your column, I think last week, was, you know, Brandon Miller was going over to pick up Darius Miles, right? That was the big thing. Well, he's got to pick him up. But Jaden Bradley was already there
with his car.
Or was there in a car. Or was there at the – right there, because honestly, the shooting started right after Miller. Did Brandon Miller know Jaden Bradley was there? Like, was there any other communication? Did Miles send a group text, or was it individual text? Like, because it's like, if Brandon Miller knew Jaden Bradley was there and Darius Miles didn't need a pickup, like, that's like – as thin of a line as they're walking, the line gets even thinner, right?
Yeah.
No. Yep. You know, no, I mean, that's, look, there's a lot of questions that still are not answered.
Yeah, because then there's no investigation. So it's like they're just blindly going forward. And it's like, okay, we'll see what, you know, what happens, you know. There's just so much unknown, and there's so much put on this while the police, like those Tuscaloosa detectives, are looking to solve a murder. They're not looking to do a comprehensive investigation of this night.
Right.
And it's two totally different things. And so it's just the standard's been crazy. So story's not going anywhere. But nope. And man, it's a shocker. I've found it to be very interesting listening to people in college athletics the last 5 days.
Yeah.
They rarely expect a new bottom to be hit, but this might have been it. So Bama's embracing it, though, boy. They're embracing it. And I'll say this, man. He is a heck of a player. That second half against Arkansas was something else.
Really good. So, yeah. It's a very good team. Very
if you're Bama team. Right now, do you want to win the national title? Or are you like, no, I'm not talking about the fan that just literally doesn't care. And you can scold Alabama fans, but if it was your team, that there'd be fans of that too. I mean, fans are, I don't know how people cheer. People who live in the town where the Bama basketball team created a shootout and killed and had left someone dead, cheers for the team. But this is how it works. It's fans are short for fanatics. This is what they do. But like, other than that, like if you're in the administration, if you're the president of Alabama, do you want to win this title, or are you just like, man, nice second round loss, let's get out of here?
That's a really good question.
Make the Final Four, and it's the then it's like Good Morning America time.
Oh, are you kidding? Can you imagine that week of the Final Four? You know, you get in on a Saturday or Sunday, you don't play again till the next Saturday. That's going to be the entire discussion, and it's not just going to be a bunch of sports hacks like us. That's where you're going to have, you know, CNN and Fox News and Good Morning America and NBC and ABC, all going to be there.
They're already on it now, but yeah, it gets even bigger. School shooting advocacies and those types of things. Yeah. I mean, it just becomes this massive thing. I don't know. I mean, if I'm like the president at this point, maybe you did not know what you were doing when you blindly walked into this and believed a lot of stuff. You're like, but at this point, it'd be like, I think, you know, man, if Iowa State locks us down in that second round, I don't know if Iowa State's going to make it. But
yeah, no, that's actually pretty good, Dan. That could be a second round match.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, I mean, it's like, I mean, there's also the bit like, if you're Brandon Miller, you know, like, you just, I don't know what he can do. Like, he's going to be the second or third pick in the draft. Like, he's done enough to do that. Is it just like, okay, this is over for me at Alabama? I mean, he clearly wants to play and win a title, but like that's a secondary thought. Like, does he want to go through this?
Well, has this impacted his NBA, you know, draft status at all?
Not much.
No.
If it does, he'll drop to like four.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
It'll be one of those things where whoever decides they want to draft him at three or four or five or whatever says, you know, we did a lot of due diligence. We talked to a lot of people.
And right.
Did our own investigation. We just know. Yeah.
It's really more, is this player. Brandon Miller's character, or did he have to do a, did he make a dumb mistake?
Right.
And so I get that. For Alabama, we're forever linked to this decision. Mm-hmm. So that's why whatever. If they're going to pick them, they're going to pick them. It doesn't matter to me. I don't know. It's like a debate. Do you want the negative publicity, but hey, you win? Like, do you want that visual of your fans cheering? And, or is it, because this isn't like, you know, I mean, it was kind of funny last year, like Kansas winning it and like awkward and, but that was like nothing, like whatever.
No.
Yeah.
I said in the column, if you were vaguely uneasy about Kansas winning last year, how are you going to feel this year when you watch Brandon Miller and Nate Oates go up the stairs on the ladder with the scissors?
Yeah. All right. So just to circle back quickly to this Miami Cavender twin NIL ruling, the women's basketball coach at Miami suspended three games. Women's basketball at Miami now. Now in the, I feel like, you know, that scene in Goodfellas when Henry gets pinched for the first time. and he doesn't rat, and he takes his hit, and then he comes out of the courtroom, and all the gangsters are there, and they give him a big hug, like, welcome to the club. I feel like men's basketball and football were like waiting outside the NCAA room.
Thank you, Katie Meyer, women's basketball coach in Miami. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
You didn't rat. You stuck up for your friends. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Like, you're one of us now, right? Like, finally, women's basketball has done it. But to circle back on this, because it is the first NIL infraction ruling, what do you think this signifies, Ross?
Well, I think that it certainly at least tells us that the NCAA is pursuing NIL-related infractions and potential violations. But the NCAA, enforcement has not followed up on its threat, which was to disassociate and penalize boosters who are committing alleged violations. And they didn't do it in this case. And we did get from the Pat had the documents of the case and everything, and the infractions committee on infractions did make it fairly clear that they were upset at the NCAA enforcement staff. And I know Pat can speak to this more, that they didn't disassociate, didn't require Miami to disassociate from John Ruiz, which the NCAA calls a booster, in who himself, Ruiz, does not call himself a booster, but claims that he is not a booster and he is a businessman running a business. But the committee on infractions did put out another threat in the case. Like, we will penalize boosters. We didn't do it here. We were a little troubled that it wasn't done here, but we're going to do it. So more threats put out. But I do think, just from talking to people in the NIL community, it did get people's attention. There's no doubt that it got collectives and boosters and CEOs' attention that the NCAA did come out with something, because I do believe that a lot of people in the NIL industry thought there would never be any kind of enforcement on NIL. There would never be any kind of real ruling. And although this was light, it was a ruling.
It was that. And this is all, we'll see if the NCAA can actually, pull itself together to an extent where it can effectively, quote unquote, police this space, however much it really needs to be policed. But if the rule is no recruiting inducements in terms of pay for play from boosters, then there's that rules being broken left, right, and center, all over the place. This one, to me, was a fairly classic NCAA situation of, hey, we've got an NIL case. We've been working on this. We got one. And it's women's basketball and the penalty's small. And we're not disassociating a booster. It's like, oh, build up. Here we go. Here we go. We go. Oh, no, not really that much. Yeah. Not a nothing burger, but not a lot on that burger. So, it's just that seems to be the way these things operate. And look, the enforcement staff thinks that they were being fair to John Ruiz. The Committee on Infractions people absolutely disagreed and wanted to disassociate him. And they're like, hey, we didn't have the blunt force thing to do it. So, that, like the Nigel Pack, there was this alleged contract for Nigel Pack that was put on the internet by John Ruiz for $800,000 for 2 years. No charge for that. Couldn't, that didn't materialize, whether that was all overblown or what, but there was, there was no charge associated with that. And so I think people will understandably sit back and say, well, until you get somebody like a Texas A&M or a, somebody involved with Jaden Rashada, we'll believe it when we see it. And so there's still some proving to do, I think, for the NCAA here.
There's obviously a lot of pretty obvious violations going on to do with the inducements, collectives and boosters talking to prospects and recruits before they sign anything, before they even commit, about NIL and about their deal. They're obvious inducements. The problem, I think, that the NCAA is having is that it really needs proof that NIL was being used, to induce a recruit. And actually, this case with the Cavender twins, right, they actually found, they specifically said in the case that they found that, you know, at the dinner that they had at the Boosters had John Ruiz's house, NIL wasn't discussed, and they didn't go to the school for NIL reasons. They specifically said that. So this is more like, and I think this was used in the, this term was used in the case, was an NIL adjacent case. Because in a lot of ways, it wasn't really an NIL case because they weren't induced. They didn't, you know, NIL wasn't an inducement to get them to come to the school. But we know that is happening. And I do believe NCAA enforcement is pursuing those, but it really needs some documentation. And that's what's been difficult. And that's why they changed the standard of a violation starting January 1, where they can use circumstantial evidence, but they still have to have that circumstantial evidence. And it's just, it's difficult. It's difficult to get that kind of proof.
Yeah. The presumption of a violation could be the game changer, but somebody's going to have to actually see it happen.
You're presumed to be guilty. So
unless you prove otherwise.
They said.
Right.
Yeah. If you got to prove a negative that we didn't discuss it. Right. If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, they said it's a duck. All right. Well, speaking of somebody who could land some NIL inducements if he was so inclined, 5-star quarterback Dylan Raiola, 1-time Ohio State commit. He's the number one ranked prospect for 24/7 and Rivals. Hails from Arizona. Went up to Nebraska with his dad. His uncle Donovan is on the offensive line coach for the Huskers. Dominic was a longtime Detroit Lion, great player. He was at the Nebraska basketball game. They gave a serenaded him, huge cheers. He waved to the crowd, all of that. Told, I'm reading 24/7 Sports, never experienced anything close to that. Those fans are the best. They've always showed my family love. It means a lot. It's a blessing to be able to experience that. Huge, huge potential deal for Matt Rhule and the Nebraska Cornhuskers, because you just don't always have that possible tie. Now, Georgia is in the mix. Maybe Ohio State is still. I think Michigan went out there to visit them. All the, you know, all the normal guys are going to be involved, but they get involved with everybody. How big is this for Nebraska? And is he going to get this done? What do you think, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge for Nebraska. Absolutely huge. And yes, this could be something that's like the family helps kind of make it happen. But if you get one guy at that position who's a game changer, you raise your program up, you win the Big Ten West, or well, there may not be even divisions at that point, but you're playing for a Big Ten championship or whatever, that's how you get more people to come to school there. So you need one domino to fall, start bringing other dominoes, and Nebraska's, I think, in dire need of a big domino, and looks like a good chance for him. If I were a betting person, I would bet he does go to Nebraska right now. But as you said, a lot can change. We're just in February.
Yeah, some deep connections there. It would make a lot of sense in Nebraska. You know, we're talking about NIL, right? Nebraska has allegedly, because again, there's not a lot of transparency right now. No database or documents. But Nebraska allegedly has pulled quite a bit of NIL. They had at some point 2 or 3 collectives. Now, I do think that they have done what a lot of schools have done, and they have kind of combined their collectives. But there's some pretty good NIL money there. I was in Nebraska in October, and there's not a lack of resources there. Facilities are incredible. They're building a brand new football facility. And from what I gather, they have no issue with NIL. It was, when I was there, it was the former football coaching staff, basically Scott Frost fired staff. And there was a lot of talk in the football building about NIL. It was very clear that they had some money. And I think, you know, a guy like Raiola, he's not just a top flight quarterback. He's the number one recruit overall in the class by, I think, most services. And that is well into the 7 figures, you know, that is 7-figure NIL situation on a yearly basis for sure.
Yeah. I mean, ever since NIL was even a concept, it was, we thought Nebraska would be one of those schools that could benefit the most.
Yeah.
Not that they're necessarily going to be the richest or but that they would have the highest they could climb. Like Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, those guys are already at the top.
Right.
But Nebraska is not. It does not have proximity to talent. It's cold. It's, you know, there's a lot of corn. It's not really things kids are normally looking for, but they got fans. And if you got some money, boy, that starts working. That's how you get talent. So we think Nebraska would always be a big benefit of this. And then you add in these family ties and you got Matt Rhule and everything else there is fantastic. As you mentioned, Ross, I mean, there's no better fan base than Nebraska and the facilities and the whole thing. So really, really interesting. We'll stay on that. He's our new Arch Manning.
There you go.
He's our new Arch Manning this year. We'll see who gets the Johnny Walker blue, whether Dominic Raiola, I know, would definitely, I don't know if he'd drink Johnny Walker blue, but he'd probably knock a few back on the whoever wants to buy it. Pretty funny guy.
Yeah.
He's a really good player. All right. Also, speaking of money, Michael Alford, the Florida State Director of Athletics, told the university's Board of Trustees Friday that, quote, something has to change. End quote. I'm reading the Tallahassee Democrat here. When it comes to closing the growing gap between the ACC and other conferences, Alford said Big Ten schools receive $80 million a year from the Big Ten and with their new deals. SEC, about $72 million. FSU is going to be stuck at $42 million. So $30 to $40 million behind. And the ACC TV deal runs for, 2037?
36,
I believe.
Yeah. 36. Mm-hmm. Oh, much better. We have to do something, Alford said, because we are a brand and we're a very important brand and we drive media value in this conference. Man, they beat Florida and Miami in 1 year and all of a sudden they're all back to being, we deserve the money. Now, he's not wrong. And I'm sure they're scared as hell because not only do they have to compete with the SEC, they got to compete with Florida.
Yeah.
You know, gonna be trailing $30-40 million when there's a school right there. But basically he's proposing or hinting or whatever that the ACC should give more to the bigger brands and less to the smaller ones, change the distribution model instead of, I think everybody gets 7% right now because of there's 14 members. But he's claiming Florida State and Clemson combined for about 24% of the value of the conference media rights deals. So they should get an extra, maybe split up an extra 10% of the revenue. That would help close the gap a little. Pat, thoughts on this?
Well, boy, I mean, this has kind of been this undercurrent of discontent for a while. And it flares up and it goes away and it flares up and it goes away because I think the reality that most of these schools have run into is we can't get out. We're stuck by this grant of rights. But I think there is a kind of renewed, even more concerted effort to let's find a way out or at least to talk about it enough so that you kind of keep stirring it up and maybe you can get some of your fellow ACC peers to go in with you and say, yeah, whether it's, you know, a lawsuit to get out of the grant of rights or whatever. I mean, whatever you try to do is going to be massively painful, controversial. It's going to take forever and it's going to be expensive. So, but the gamble or the bet is that we're going to make so much more on the back end that it's worth it. But it's going to be difficult if it even gets that far. But, you hear, depending on which day, you know, no, this is dead in the water. Then, no, wait, no, not dead in the water. A lot of ACC schools want this to happen. You know, we want out. So, where this ends up, I don't know. But the simmering discontent is something for Jim Phillips and that membership that they're just going to kind of constantly have to deal with. And whether it's reached a critical mass enough that you give in to a uneven revenue distribution, I think that's almost a last resort because when you do that, that's when you really start, I think, creating some acrimony within the league, and they don't want to do that.
Yeah, and we've seen that happen in other leagues with other schools right in the past. Like you said, I think you summed it up well. Like this has been something that's been simmering privately that has leaked out every now and then publicly, but we've never seen, you know, this much publicly said about it. And I think that probably speaks to the current frustration level. And also, it's not coincidental that just two, maybe 3 weeks ago, the ACC ADs met and had their yearly winter meeting in Charlotte, and a revenue distribution model change was discussed. And based on Michael Alford's comments to the board, it's pretty clear that the revenue distribution model change that was discussed was not approved. And probably good bet that 3/4 or 4/5 of the league were not in support of it. And the Clemsons and the Florida States and the Miamis maybe, and maybe the North Carolinas or something were maybe more supportive of it. So it's interesting in the ACC because you have a few of these big brands normally tied to football, but a couple tied to men's basketball that generate a good bit of revenue. And then you know, just being kind of blunt, but then you have these academic schools that aren't, don't really have these big brands or historic success. And they're having to coexist with one another. And it's kind of a microcosm of what we've seen in the NCAA overall and in Division I overall, where you have the Power Five versus the FBS or the FBS versus the FCS. It's kind of a microcosm there. And something's got to give here. They're not, it would be shocking that the ACC would go 13 more years with this big gap in revenue distribution compared to the other leagues, especially the Big Ten in the SEC. So something's going to give. So the question is, how many decide to challenge it? When do they decide to challenge it? How do they decide to challenge it? Because if the distribution model is not changing, if there's no other revenue generating source they can come up with, or if ESPN doesn't, you know, bump up the deal in some way, maybe tied to a new deal, I think somebody's going to challenge this thing at some point, because you can't coexist in this environment. The ACC can't coexist in an environment where they're 20 to 30 million to maybe even 40 million behind some of these other schools.
I mean, good luck, because, I mean, Oklahoma and Texas had to leave $100 million on the table just to get out of their deal 1 year early with the Big 12.
Yeah, right.
To right. Go to the SEC. So I good luck. Well, that'll be a court fight.
And Dan, just to like clarify, reminded me, you know, $100 million, you know, $50 million for each Texas and Oklahoma to get out. The exit fee that Alford cited, and I heard it is accurate, $120 million to break the deal with the ACC. The problem is that's only one of two parts of this. That is the exit fee. But the other part is you are still bound by the grant of rights, and you need ESPN and in the league in general to agree to break those grant of rights. And it would be hard to see that happening. It's one thing for ESPN and Fox in the Big 12 to agree to for Texas and Oklahoma to break the grant of rights for 1 year.
Right.
It'd be hard to see, you know, them doing it for the ACC schools for 12 years.
Yeah. No, it's really unlucky. All right. Finally, this story, it's in the rundown if you guys want to read it. It's got one of the greatest headlines I've ever seen. This is from NBC2 down in Florida. The headline is Fort Myers man arrested after disrespectfully consuming key lime pie.
What?
Fort Myers man arrested after disrespectfully consuming key lime pie. Teddy Byrne, who's writing down there for NBC2, you
work.
Got me and about a million of our listeners who are excited about a disrespectful consumption of a key lime pie somehow being against the law. First off, it's like the craziest story. It includes a recipe for key lime pie at the end.
Okay.
Definitely not written in New York Times style. But here's the situation. One Fort Myers man went out of his way to obtain, he loves a key lime pie. So it was his mother's birthday, and he's older man, and he got a key lime pie for the big day, for the birthday. But another person who lives in the house with the mom and maybe him is a guy named David Powelson. And Powelson was told to leave the key lime pie alone because it was going to be for the birthday dinner, but he just couldn't resist himself, apparently. resist. And I mean, a good key lime pie, you know.
Tough to resist.
I get it. I mean, you know, it's definitely calling your name there. So on February 15th, around 5, the man, according to this story, slipped into a daze in his recliner when something caught his eye. Powelson wasn't just eating the prized possession, the pie. He was making sure there wasn't a crumb left behind.
Oh, God.
Why didn't you just save me one piece, the dejected man? So he's kind of a victim as the story plays out, which is why they're probably not naming him. Extolled to Powelson. He got so upset, he confronted Powelson about the key lime pie. The two became embroiled in a war of words. And then at the end, Powelson decided to cool off the other guy by dumping two large glasses of water over him. The cops were called, and Powelson was arrested for battery on a person 65 or older. So, you know, as crimes go, this isn't too bad. You know, the guy got wet. But, you know, it wasn't too bad. Someone eats your key lime pie, though. If you're risking that, not only yours, your mom's. I mean, I think he's lucky it didn't get worse.
Yeah.
He got his ass kicked.
That's mom's key lime pie.
Mom's birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. I have some issues here. First of all, Teddy Byrne, not the greatest writer of all time for NBC, too. can we just make that point?
Okay. Yes, that's very confusing story. And then the recipe at the end is just completely out of turn.
that's bizarre. Here's a key lime pie recipe. Because you want to make it for your mama and eat it all.
That's although, right. When you read the story, you do start wanting key lime pie, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I do. But the man was not extolling to Powell. That's wrong use of that verb. But anyway, that aside, look, that's like a key lime pie hotbed down there in Southwest Florida, right? I mean, it's not actually Key West, but it's close enough. So that's, you know, kind of like taking somebody's bourbon in
they
Kentucky.
Got lime trees.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's some
serious they take
stuff.
The key lime pie serious down there. There's no question because they got a lime tree outside probably.
Yeah. But so, yeah, I'd throw the book at this dude. I would have him, like, probably jailed for the rest of his life and make sure he gets no more key lime pie ever.
How about flat? What do they call it? Is it flagged? When, you know, like the spanking with the big paddle.
Flogged.
Yeah. Flagged. Yeah. Look at me. It's a Monday. Flogged. Yes. How about give him a good flog? How many pieces did he eat? A whole pie?
The whole pie.
Eight
the
pieces. Whole pie. Eight floggings. There you go. And you know what? Throw a few key limes at him that haven't ripened either. Some hard key limes.
There
throw a few key limes at him.
Yeah, have him.
What if you could do like a? What if we could set up like a no, like the no fly list? Like we set up a deal where you can't, like he goes to a restaurant, tries to order a slice of key lime pie. Not allowed.
Yeah.
You've had your full.
A key lime pie rogue list in Southwest Florida down there. If you're on it, no key lime for you.
That's your punishment. You have to watch other people eat key lime pie and you're not allowed. Because he clearly can't resist.
Birthday pie. No. It's a good pie. I like it.
This is the dumbest crime I think we've ever covered. And I mean, that is saying something.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a mugshot here. This guy, Lee County Sheriff's.
Looks.
What are you in for? Key lime pie, man.
Mm-mm-mm. Only in Florida.
He was making it for those mom. It was so good, I ate it right in front of him. Well, I don't know.
Florida man.
We start with crime and punishment. We end with crime and punishment.
Yep, there you go. Full circle.
Full circle story. All right, we'll be back later this week. Who knows what'll happen?
Who knows?
Something will, though. Thanks for listening. Continue to share us on social media. We will talk to you later.